last night that I, as BTC teacher, that I would talk to you about the Book of Life and continue to talk about the Book of Life right on through the main preaching hour. The Book of Life, as I've told you many times, is a very misunderstood book. Somehow, some way down the line, I don't know when, what, why or how, the idea came along that your name was written in that Book of Life for the first time when you got saved. Well, that makes a lot of sense if you've never looked at the Bible. But whenever I got old enough to where I could study the Bible, I kept running across scriptures and I kept saying, now, wait a minute. If your name can't be blotted out of the Book of Life, why do they keep saying that? And so it bothered me. So I took all the scriptures out, put them all together, looked at them, tried to analyze them, discover what the truth was, and I came to a different conclusion about the Book of Life than the idea that your name was never in the Book of Life until you got saved, and then God wrote your name in there. I'm going to cover some scriptures starting here, and I'm going to continue from the BTC right on into the preaching hour. Now, I'm going to read some statements here at the first, and then when I go into the actual scriptures, they're going to validate the statements that I make here. The Book of Life. From the mind of God, before the foundation of the world, there was a book written which contained the names of every human being who would ever come into existence. It was a book of life. God knew every individual who would ever receive life in a woman's womb, from Cain to the last human embryo that shall be given life. God put all their names in a book of life, everybody's. When one comes into the world, his or her name has been in the book of life from the foundation of the world continuously. You'll see why I say continuously later on. When one comes into the world, his or her name has been in the book of life from the foundation of the world continuously. In other words, before God ever made Adam, God knew every human being that would ever come out of Adam and Eve. He knew Adam and Eve and every human being that would ever be born because he made them and put them in the Garden of Eden. And he put their name in there, and it stays in there continuously until certain things happen. We're going to talk about those certain things. When one comes into the world, his or her name has been in the book of life from the foundation of the world continuously, and except for circumstances, which shall be described later, it remains in the book of life until physical death occurs. At that time, it either remains in the book of life eternally or is blotted out, depending on whether the accountable adult was born again during his lifetime. Once you're saved, while you're still alive in this body of flesh, what's commonly referred to as born again, once that happens, then your name, which has always been in the book of life before Adam was ever made, then your name becomes permanent. Then it becomes an indelible part of the book, and it can never be removed for any circumstance. If a child dies who, by the judgment of the Holy Spirit, has not reached a sufficient mental age to be able to accept or reject Christ as Savior, then the child's name remains in the book of life forever. It's always been there from before the creation of Adam. And so when a child dies and it has never come to the place where it can either choose or reject Christ because it doesn't have sufficient development to mentally accept or reject Christ, then the Lord does not hold that child accountable for Adam's sin, and the soul of that child is allowed to go immediately into the presence of God. But if a mentally accountable person dies, who has rejected the conviction of the Holy Spirit to receive Christ as Savior, then that person's name is blotted out of the book of life when they die. I'm 65. Let's say that I was lost. I'd never been born again. And all of a sudden, I dropped over dead with a heart attack. At that time, because I would never have accepted Christ in my life, at that point in time, it's all over for me. I can't make a choice after I'm dead. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Then my name would be blotted out of the book of life. Once a person knows Christ as Savior, his or her name will never, under any circumstances, be blotted out of the book of life. So for those of you that are listening to this tape, what you're listening to may seem different, but it's certainly not heresy.
Because I teach the same thing that everyone else teaches. That once you're saved, once you're born again, once you trust Jesus, then your name can never be blotted out of the book of life. That's the important thing about the book of life. It is possible for a lost person, by constantly resisting the Holy Spirit's convicting power, to trust Christ to be saved, to the point of calling his testimony a lie, to have his name blotted out of the book of life while still being physically alive. This is what is known as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And we'll show that later on in the scriptures. But some people right now are walking around on this earth that have committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It means to speak injuriously against. And the Holy Spirit of God, which said he would not always strive with man, has time and time and time and time and time again tried to convict them of the fact that they are sinners. They need to be saved. He testifies of Christ. He was sent for that purpose. He tries to lead them to put their faith in Christ as he testifies. And over and over and over and over and over and over, they say, no, 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 no. Finally, it reaches a point where they make a final rejection of Christ. And walking around, still alive in physical bodies, maybe living another 40 years, 50 years, they're not going to be saved because they've made the final rejection. And at that time, their name is blotted out of the book of life. During the Great Tribulation period, many lost men and women will worship the Antichrist or his image. This is something that I'm teaching again. I've taught it three times. Because we're dealing with a tribulation period, and there are scriptures regarding the book of life there that need to be explained, that are used in conjunction with the mark of the beast. And the subject we've been dealing with is the mark of the beast, and that's why I'm talking about the book of life now. During the great tribulation period, many lost men and women will worship the Antichrist or his image, or will take his mark or the number of his name. The instant that this occurs, their names will be blotted out of the book of life. Once this happens, their names, which had been in the book of life continuously for the foundation of the world, can no longer be said to have been there from its foundation. From the time that the book of life was written, before Adam was made, their name has been in it. Bingo! All of a sudden, it's blotted out when they worship the beast, or the image of it, the beast, or take the number of his name or the mark. Bingo! It's blotted out. Then in the time that lies between the time they're still physically alive when they take the mark and the end of the tribulation period, in that period of time, you cannot say their name has been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, because they got cut off right back here. No one can ever lose their salvation. No one can ever have his name blotted out of the book of life once they've been saved. Now, bearing in mind the statements on the previous sheet, consider the following scriptures, remembering that the standard belief has your name written in the book of life when you are born again. I don't know who originated this teaching, but it's not in the Bible, and certainly makes it difficult to explain scriptures involving the book of life. Ephesians 1:4. I want you to notice very carefully what the Word of God says about God's will and what God's purpose is in all this. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, there is a heresy, an error, called Calvinism. Some people call it Hartshell. It's the idea that before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit sat down in what they call the council halls of eternity, and they decided which ones were going to be saved and which ones were going to be lost. And once they made the decision as to who was going to be saved and who was going to be lost, it's irrevocable, and that man has no choice in his salvation whatsoever. That isn't true. Quite the opposite. God chose all men in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God chose all men to go to heaven by trusting in his Son. But God gave man a free will choice, and the choice is this. I've chosen that you be saved in Christ Jesus. Will you accept my choice for you? Will you put your trust in him? And you have a God-given right to say, no, I won't. And when you do that, and you die physically later on, your name is blotted out of the book of life. God chose all men to be saved in Christ before the foundation of the world. But he gave men the free will choice of rejecting the choice he has made for them. He wants all men to be saved. Take a look at these two scriptures, 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, and 2 Peter 3 and 9, and remember the scripture we just read in Ephesians 1, 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This was God's choice for all men, that all men be saved. 1 Timothy 2 and 3, 2, 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So if this says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, this means in Ephesians 1, 4, that had to be everyone that he chose to be saved in Christ Jesus and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What you're receiving and what you're accepting when you're saved is a choice that God already made for all men. But all men don't have to accept that choice, and you're rejecting God's choice for you because God never meant for anybody to go to hell. The reason I know it's not God's will is because of 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He keeps on trying to convict men, keeps on trying to convict men, keeps on trying them to get to accept the choice he made for them in Christ Jesus. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So truly, God chose all men to be saved in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, before Adam was ever created by God. But he gives man the right to reject that choice. And a man can do that while he's still alive if he just continuously keeps on rejecting God's Holy Spirit's testimony to the extent where it's speaking injuriously against the Spirit and he actually rejects the testimony completely. What is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Simply this: to call him a liar. That's speaking injuriously against. Every human being, when they pass the age of accountability, where the Holy Spirit knows when they have a mental capacity to either accept or reject Christ, and once they pass that age, he starts convicting them very heavily of sin. And he keeps convicting them they need a Savior. He keeps convicting them of the hell and the things, punishment that follow this life. And over again, he convicts, over and over. Finally, they either receive or reject. In Luke 12, 10, whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. In Luke 12 and 10, we're told that you can use the Lord's name in vain. Certainly you shouldn't. You can say something terrible about the Son of Man. It shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Why can't it be forgiven? Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He said he would send the Holy Spirit, a comforter, Paracletos, one called alongside. He said he shall not testify of himself, but he shall testify of me. When the Holy Spirit keeps telling a heart, you're lost, you're a sinner, you need Jesus, and he keeps impressing on your heart that Christ died on the cross for your sins, and he keeps impressing on you the great price that he paid on Calvary's cross for your sins, and over again you say, no, 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 no. You're rejecting the only thing that will send you to hell, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's to call God's Holy Spirit a liar and to make a denial of what he is testifying to your heart. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is to call his testimony concerning a lie. That's calling the Spirit a liar. And that's speaking injuriously against, which is what the word blasphemy means. When he keeps witnessing to a heart that needs that Jesus is the Christ and that it needs to receive him as Savior, and it keeps on denying his testimony as being true, then the sin of the previous verse occurs, which will never be forgiven. We looked at Luke 12:10. It definitely lined up with what blasphemy is. Luke 12:10, whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. When you call God's Holy Spirit a liar, and you mean it, and you don't believe it, and you don't want to be convicted anymore, then, my friend, you'll never be saved. And your name is blotted out while you're still alive, walking around physically in a body. Look at the verse before Luke 12:10, Luke 12:9. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. That's why blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven in this life or in the life to come. Because if you don't believe his testimony about Jesus Christ, you have rejected God's choice and you have called God's Holy Spirit a liar. But a man who confesses him as Savior will not have his name blotted out of the book of life under any circumstances. So once you do confess him before men, once you do receive him, then your name is indelibly imprinted in that book, and he will never remove it for any circumstance because you have believed the testimony of God's Holy Spirit. Now considering the previous two sheets, let's look at some individual scriptures involving the book of life. Now what I'm doing is showing you the individual scriptures, so you can see that the statements I made earlier are backed up by the Word of God. Considering the previous two sheets, let's look at some individual scriptures involving the book of life. Those listed in the second two verses of the fifth chapter of Philippians could never have their names blotted out of the book of life because they were born again believers. These people had already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Their names could never be blotted out of the book of life. Philippians 4, 2 and 3. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in my gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Those are people who are saved. They're also members of the church there at Philippi. They were having some confrontation between themselves, disagreements, but still their name wasn't blotted out of the book of life. Because after you're saved, there's no sin you can commit that can undo the salvation process that Christ worked in your life when you trusted him. The overcomer of Revelation 3:5 will not have his name blotted out of the book of life because he is a born-again believer. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Once you confess Christ openly as the Son of God in whom your trust is placed, then your name is confessed before the angels in heaven, and there's no such thing as an unconfession. This person's name will never be blotted out of the book of life. He said, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. That's a promise. This person is an overcomer. Who is an overcomer? He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Someone who puts their faith and their trust in him. That's an overcomer. Now, there are a lot of people that say, well, Brother Michael Murray, I know some people that, I tell you what, those people are so bad, I don't think they were ever saved. Well, welcome to the club, folks. That's true in many cases. And I've been in many different churches where many different people had made professions of faith, and later on, when they got older, they suddenly realized they never had been saved. And lots of times you see people, and I can't say whether they're saved or not, but the Bible indicates by their fruits you shall know them. And by the fruit that they produce, sometimes you wonder, are they really saved? But I'm telling you that once someone is saved, there is going to be some evidence of their salvation in their life. It's not the evidence that makes them saved. The evidence merely manifests what's going on inside them. And once a person's name's written in the book of life, it can never be blotted out. Those who worship the Antichrist during the tribulation period have had their names removed for worshiping him prior to the time indicated in the two following scriptures. Now, let's take a look at Revelation 13 and 8. Now, remember, 13 and 8 is where the Antichrist first comes up out of the Mediterranean Sea area. He comes up as a beast with seven heads and 10 horns, having 10 crowns. He's just a normal-looking beast at that time, probably the color of a lion, whatever that is. But later on in Revelation 17, 8, this is after the Antichrist has been killed by a weapon that has of war. He's apparently been resurrected from the dead, and he takes on a scarlet color. His head is no longer wounded like it was back in 13 and 8. Now, when this happens, between those four chapters, you're going to see a change in the way a reference is made to this book of life. Revelation 13, 8. Now, we're talking about the false prophet. By the eighth chapter, we've gone to the second beast that comes up from the earth. This is the false prophet. In the first part of this chapter, in Revelation 13, 1, the Antichrist, the beast, rose up out of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, some nation around that Mediterranean Sea. And he actually, at that particular period in time, some people are worshiping him. Now, it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now, what happens when they worship him? The moment that they worship the Antichrist, the moment that they believe he is sent from God, the moment they believe he is the Messiah, at that instant, their names blotted out of the book of life. At the very split second in time, the instant that you put your faith in Jesus Christ to save you, That's when he saved you. And it's instantaneous, and it never loses its effect or power. Whenever they worship Satan, an individual worships him, on the second that they put their faith and trust in him to deliver them, they're gone goslings. Because at that instant, their name is blotted out. After that, as the tribulation period passes, at any given time when you're going to refer to them, you say, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That does not mean they never were in there. But it means that when that statement is made, any time after they worship him, it's not in there anymore. It's not written in there anymore, even though it was in there continuously from the time before Adam up until the time that they worshiped him. At that instant, it was taken out. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now let's take a look in Revelation 17:8. We've looked at Revelation 13:8. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. We're now three chapters later, and I'm sorry, four chapters later. We're in 17:8. We started in 13:8. By this time, just about everybody on the earth that's going to accept him as Messiah has accepted him. We're getting very close to the final battle. Revelation 16:16, matter of fact, is the Battle of Armageddon, but this is a prelude that is mentioned after that. The beast that thou sawest was, he was alive, and is not, he died, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, supposedly was resurrected out of the earth, I believe it may be genuine, I don't know, and shall go into perdition. The word perdition means destruction. That's a prediction that shall go into perdition. He will be destroyed by Jesus when he returns, along with a false prophet. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, means they will stand in amazement. The idea of wonder means they will wonder in amazement at him, be completely captivated by him. They've already received him as Messiah. Whose names were not written in the book of life from. The key word is from. At this particular point in time, way back earlier, their names have all been blotted out. So you cannot say that their names have been written from the foundation of the world, because at the time this is stating, their names were blotted out at some times previous, so it has not been continuously from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was, he died, is not, is alive, and yet is, comes back. He died, he was alive, he died, and yet is, he comes back. By the time these two scriptures, by the time of these two scriptures, their names have been blotted out for some time, such that it cannot be stated that they have been continuously in the book from or since the foundation of the world. But what about having your name removed from the book of life and going through the plagues of Revelation? If you take away from or add to the prophecies of this book, something terrible is supposed to happen to you. Now, this book of Revelation, he said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Means the whole book. We're going to talk about something that I think you'll find very interesting tonight in the message that I intend to preach, Lord willing. The sin of worshiping a false god or image of a false god can cause your name to be removed from the book of life before your physical life is over. Because you do not choose to worship the one whom the only true God sent as his choice for you, but rather chose of your own free will to accept the devil's choice for you. Your name is blotted out of the book of life while you are still physically alive. And so it's almost a quarter till. And I think I'll stop there. And then when we have the regular preaching hour, I'll just commence from maybe read that cover chart again, then start right here and go through the rest of it. Okay, Bob?